Oh. Oh, Band hier.
Good morning to everyone.
Dang anzo de chenje de da gese chenjo sembe ge ni jebe nyamle ge zo da kandar chanjo jo do ni sem ge wa zang ge ni mi sho ba ro jebe nyamle ge ni chawala ungwe so shu ya de 那金属化金出个人娘们得了得要死。
The topic that we have been focusing upon is not only the development of bodhicitta, the altruistic mind of enlightenment within our own mind stream, but also, perhaps more importantly,the need to engage in bodhisattva's actions or activities or deeds. In other words, what I'm saying is that it's very wonderful to cultivate bodhicitta, bodhisattva's attitude, you know, wishing to become a Buddha for the benefit of all other sentient beings, but that attitude or motivation alone is not adequate for us to get there where we want to be. What is necessaryThat goes with that attitude is the need to engage in the bodhisattva actions or the activities or deeds. And that's why we have been talking about what is called six perfections or the six parameters, you know, or six virtues of bodhisattvas, as some would translate them.
You know? Tentu setengah itu sangat. Tapi kemudian di sana, orang tu cik tamewe, soine le cik, hal terawat cik, mohon sekali. Tentu sini sange, kapan tahu tu yang baru masuk, rengi ni ni, cik cawen nari ya, cik semula, tak cik kang, sempat sambut cik kita ni jauh jatuh ya tu, tak mendeu jis, kan tak tahu siapa ni, tentu dia sambut lapis tu so, tahu sangat macam apa lah.俺人一个我说，你吃完了凶的，他伢们吃过，老人打过呀，都是这些人，他。
So in other words, if we pose this question to ourselves, that is, you know, by what actions Bodhisattvas are seeking complete enlightened state or Buddhahood? Okay, because we have to.Engage in actions to get to the state of enlightenment, then the answer to that question is through the six actions of what are called parameters or the perfections. Yeah. So what I just mentioned to you is that it's wonderful for us to cultivate faith in, say, holy beings or faith in the Dharma. And it's all wonderful to do our, prayers, if you will. But these alone are not adequate, methods or the means by which we can become an enlightened being, which is our ultimate goal. Prayers are wonderful. Cultivating faith in the Buddha is wonderful. But these are alone are not adequate. Now, forget about...You know how these are not adequate means or the ways to reach us in the enlightened state. But in our everyday life, for us to become a better human beings, you know, to improve ourselves, our way of thinking, just simply cultivating faith in the Buddha, it doesn't cut it, right? So we have to cultivate kind-heartedness. We have to transform our attitude, you know, because we need to do those things in order to better ourselves in everyday life. Okay, if that is the case.So how much more it is true or even necessary for us to engage in the actions to get to the Buddhahood. Yeah, that is our ultimate spiritual destination. And so the point I'm trying to make here is that, you know, not only we learn about Bodhisattva's attitude, bodhicitta, very precious attitude, and also the perfections and actions that they engage in to benefit other sentient beings,But we also need to tell ourselves that we are not simply educating ourselves about them. We are not here just academically, you know, learning these things, but we really want to emulate the bodhisattvas. We want to follow them, right? We want to try at least, you know, to try a bodhisattva's way of thinking, to try bodhisattva's way of doing things, you know. So this is what we must think about. Okay, so which means that we need to engage in, make an effort to engage in the bodhisattva actions.
어떤 상계 좀 된데 아니 즉 삼보는 대가는 즉 전에 랑도가 냈던 여래서 랑도가 냈던 여래들의 이는야 삼보는 미상말이야 랑도가 냈던 여말은 미상말은 코고여 말이스 다가는 신게 랑도가 냈던세 창월로 아니 즉 승본 등배 등본의 신 창월로 아니 즉 코난의 신 상강로 당보지 상계여 말이스 도서 마제우드 가라스는 동바정 얘기 통난되고 추입니다 추이 아니 미다신스 드웨 동의 차가 미실라 니그 똑바신라 보면데 춘이 때 맞던데 저월교스 또 송여레스 그래서 광의 아니 제 그게 제 랑도 네 변샤와 저서 제 수서랑 그 제 랑도근의 심배 탄의 년의 전에는 저거를 만들어지기 덤비 아니 아직 그게 차 탄의 아니 지기야 탈배사는 정야 덤버코랑 그 떡외인데디 미신발로 파 아니 지 교자라 때려서 제 때는 뜻이야 요마레스 와다 소소랑이 랑게 아니 년의 전에야 탈배사리야 쪼고요 다디 송효레스디 와다 저배 네티르티요레스 잠볼리 민강로 야 랑도근 네 아니 지 마신 야당 언제 강로 언제 그서 상계마도 약한 것 딱 되레스 좀세.
Historically, Shakyamuni Buddha sitting over there, after becoming an enlightened being, he gave what called Dharma teachings or spiritual teachings to everyone who was interested in his teachings. So it was his teaching was given not to a particular what called group of people or set of people, but it was given more publicly and universally. We could say that. Now that being the case, now we could say that we have billions of people in our world, but everybody has not been benefited by his teachings. Okay, and how many among us billions really followed his teachings and become Buddhas like him? Okay. So what's happening? Why most of us are still really unenlightened, if you will. We are stuck in the problematic situation called samsara. Okay, we ask that question to ourselves. And why that is the case? Buddha, so to speak, did his job. He became an enlightened being. He gave his teaching freely. He cared about everybody else. But everybody else has not been benefited equally by his teachings. And only few have become enlightened beings, so most of us are still stuck. So why is that the case now, right? Where lies the responsibility if we ask that question to ourselves, not to someone else? So that's basically, I think we may have failed ourselves in terms of cultivating Buddha's teachings in our own mind or putting his teachings into practice. Of course, there are many beings, who did not feel connected with his teachings. Okay, so they were not benefited by his teachings. Okay. But others kind of listen to him but never practice. Okay. And so when we simply listen to the teachings and never practice, of course we are not going to gain the realizations that are expected, to be gained. So in Buddhism, we emphasize so much on the importance and essentiality of what we call teaching and practice, or study and practice, to use a modern word. Okay. Study is important in the beginning because without the knowledge and understanding, what is there to be practiced? But having studied Dharma, if we don't practice at all, then we are really not going to realize the outcomes that we are seeking. Okay. So study and practice must go together. And once we have learned the things well, perhaps more important thing is to put the things into practice. Okay. Now Buddha himself made it very clear about this in his famous what called statements. And as Geshe-la quoted the stanza from his memory, Buddha said, O monastics and the wise learned ones, he said, Buddhas, enlightened beings, cannot wash away your negativities and defilements with water, with some kind of blessed water, right? And he said, they cannot remove the pains and suffering of sentient beings as if they can remove, with their hand, They can't do that. Okay. They cannot transfer their knowledge and realizations into the mind of the sentient beings. Say, hey, it's a gift for you. Okay, take it. Yeah, can't do that. So only thing they can do is this. They could only reveal the truth as it is, if you will. And then we have to make efforts to actualize or realize the truth. And that realization can liberate ourselves from the state of suffering. That is the only way or the method. Okay? So Buddha Shakyamuni himself made it very clear about, you know, how we can realize the outcomes, you know, based upon his teachings. It is through learning and through practice. Okay? And so there is no substitute, if you will, to the practice. So the point I'm trying to make here is all of us have gathered here. We are participating in the teachings. So this is what we call, we are learning about, you know, the practice of abandonment and practice of cultivation, as we would say. It means what are the things we must not do, we must abandon, we should get rid of. Right? It is called Dzogchen in Tibetan, get rid of things. There are a lot of things inside us. But what are the things that we need to adopt, we need to cultivate? Okay, called Langwa, obtain it, you know, get it for yourself. So basically, you know, our purpose of coming here is to learn about these things first. What are the things to get rid of and what are the things to be cultivated? And once we learn about that, then it's more of an individual and personal responsibility to try that, you know, to put it into practice, right? So it is through study and practice combined together that we will be able to, bring about inner transformation and we can spiritually progress. And that's what Buddha has promised us, and that's the, you know, right process of way to do it, you know. We cannot expect Buddha, like, you know, I trust you, and I believe in you, and I have faith in you, and here I am, just, you know, give me the gift, you know, to me, your realization. There's no way to do it, you know. If that could be done, Buddha would have done long time ago, but that's, it's just impossible thing we're asking, right? So Buddha has shown us the truth. The way to get to enlightened state, we need to learn about it, and then we need to follow it. Okay, so that's the Buddhist way of finding a way to liberate ourselves from the state of suffering and reach a enlightened state.
What that happened is, in this long dog, ne, don't say that that you, casa to the day, and so soon when it come down, never. 자긴 300 때문에 랑도고 내 땡고로 땡땡 땡고고로 맞아 저기 아니 아직 랑으로 소소정 일이야 언제 다 실제 군 캠베 언제 캠바 여와 티기 토네 랑가 저 간지 뭐죠 언제 때야 안 믿어 봤어 그 생각 저 후에 추억이 좀 배웠어 언제 내역이 언제 根源告诉你全人照的是这是区别的经吧等于你有卡萨来你开始唱过多少次这是你打算的这被区别的这等于什么那么这嘛那松亚提亚那这那个根松点你了你也等于什么那么这总把满意是这个一切都满意是这样松过多少次这样别的呀你有个根源叫了
So in terms of also giving teachings to benefit others or sharing Dharma with others, again, one needs to have a certain, what we call, qualities or understand realizations to be able to do that. Okay? Of course, Buddha has what we call omniscient wisdom or a knowledge. So it means that the kind of wisdom that sees everything. So that means, you know, Buddha knows what kind of teaching could be given to certain individuals taking into account their mental dispositions and capacities, so they're able to really benefit, you know, sentient beings according to their needs and the capacities. But others who are lacking that kind of wisdom or knowledge, you know, won't be able to, benefit the sentient beings in the same way. You know, you could make a mistake. Remember that even I was explaining to you about you know, what called the giving of a spiritual gift or a dharma. Okay, and here it's not like we can say, you know what, I have something to give you, and here I am, and I'll give it to, you know, one and all, right? We have to investigate, you know, the recipients of the gift. Are they the appropriate, you know, receivers of the gift or not? Right? You just can't say, okay, here I have something to give you, and here you are, and here it is, you know. And because that may not, you know, be beneficial to the person. And as I quoted, remember, the great Indian Buddhist sage scholar, Acharya Dharmakirti, in his treatises on the valid cognitions, or called Pramana Vartika, okay, and where he said, very humbly, if you will, that he said, you know, I have not composed this text, you know, for the others, you know, who have what is called the three faults of a container, okay, but I have composed it out of compassion for those, you know, who, you know, are devoid of, you know, those three faults of a container. So we talked about what are the three defects or the faults of a container, right, in the footnote, such as the container that's put upside down and nothing goes in, okay, and that's the leaky container, you know, things go out pretty much eventually. And that's the smelly one, you know, it's unusable, okay, things you can put it in. So if we have certain attitudes like any of these, you know, metaphors we have used, then we are not the, what called the appropriate or suitable recipients of the teachings, you know, because teachings could be given to us, we couldn't be benefited by that. Yeah. And so that what I really, the point I'm trying to make is, even making a spiritual gift or teaching Dharma, we really need to have the wisdom that goes with it, you know. You know, what kind of teaching could be given? Is this the right kind of teaching? Are they the right recipients? Is this the right time? You know, so many things need to be taken into account, even when we have such a gift to, you know, to give.
Oh, then just since that, I'm just saying, I'm just sure that that, misikbe, I'm just jumping on the misikbe, jumping the, I'm just share that is, that misikbe, jumping the, I'm just, I'm so, I'm just saying that that is, so just, I'm just saying that that is, I'm just so just yeah, that is the yours. I'm just saying that I'm so much saying that I'm so just yeah, the same the pa, na the same the joint the cherry the. 那让公我说叫我当让个心了怕，那就贵的心给那说叫我都说让了呀，那就偏远，那几个集中这的有的是。So
we were last time focused on what is called Bodhisattva's way of giving, or the perfection of generosity, dan paramita, and it consists of different forms of giving. You know, usually we understand giving more in the sense of material things, giving. Yeah, that is there too. But then there is what called giving spiritual gift or giving dharma of the teaching. Then there's something called giving fearlessness or protection. So we talked about that. Okay? And what that really consists of is saving the lives of others. Okay? Others include even the smallest you know, living beings or the insects, right? If we can somehow protect their lives, if we can save their lives, so that is also generosity, which is giving fearlessness. Okay? Now, even if we ourselves couldn't do it, we couldn't save somebody's life, even if it is the smallest insect, let's assume. But if we encourage others to do that, you know, we inspire others to do that, and others save lives, then we are able to share in the positive energy or the merits of those other, you know, gift givers. You know, so this is how we can practice, you know, the giving of fearlessness or protection.
What that thing is, if we jump at the wrong end, we say that wrong thing, let pa, an end thing, and just that yeah, that's wrong. Let an opinion, just go this. That go you with jump at that, so na, if we jump at lock jaw.
所以说这个来的让给切我妈说让给心里怕救人呢先切除人救人呢所以说这个来让给用户要的是这个要的是。So what I've just said is that if we ourselves could save the lives of others, you know, including the smallest you know, insects, of course that's no doubt about called giving fearlessness or giving protection. But even if we couldn't do it ourselves in certain situations, but we encourage and inspire others to do that, when they save their lives, we share in the merit, we actually get almost equal benefits, the merits that they accumulated. Now, this works in both ways, as I said, it's like the principle of fairness, I would say. For example, we talk about negativity. If we kill someone, of course, that is a really terrible negativity, no doubt. But we may not kill someone, but if we somehow inspire others to kill someone, when that person kills, X, well, we get, we also accumulate the negativity of killing along with that person. Now, the same thing works here in the case of positive actions. If we ourselves couldn't do those things, but if we encourage others to do them and they do them, it's the same thing. We share in the benefit. When we encourage others to do the negativities, we also equally share in the negativities, the outcomes. Of all forms of killing, taking the life of a human being is considered the worst form of killing. In the Buddhist literature, there is mention of, in this particular case, killing a human being or the one that is in the process of becoming a human being. That's how it is put. So what that really means is, of course, if we kill a full-fledged human being, well, then we kill a human being. We all can see that. But when the consciousness has entered in the womb of a mother, so it's in the process of development as a human being, right? That's in the process of becoming a human being. It's not a human being yet. But if you kill that fetus or whatever, that is also considered as killing a human being. Okay. So this is the worst form of killing that's talked about in the Buddhist literature. So how serious this can be, let's say three people, they get together, so they conspire to kill someone. Okay, so they make the plot. Okay, let's kill this ex. So when you kill the ex, you have only killed one person, but all of you are involved, so everybody gets the negativity of killing the person. That's how serious it is, So, we look at a particular instance of negativity in this particular case, how we ourselves might be involved in a killing. Either we ourselves can kill someone, well, there's no doubt about it, but we might participate in a killing in a different way. We may be part of the one planning, committee member, so to speak. Yeah, I just make a little humorous, but shouldn't be humorous. But, so then when a member of our committee kills someone, so we are also involved in the killing. Okay? So we have to really know these things so that we don't get involved in any way in any form of negativity. Now let's assume that person X stabs the person B. Okay, let's assume that person B is going to live for next 15 days, but then he's going to die for sure. Okay, but in the middle, another person comes and stabs this person B again. Yeah. So now the person is going to live for 1 week, not 14, you know, 15 days. So in this case, the both persons have accumulated the negativity of killing this person. Because both persons have shortened the lifespan of this individual, right? The first person shortened the life to 15 days only. Then the next person cut that one even further down to 1 week. Okay? So this is how, I mean, things can get complicated, you know, how we might get involved in negativity. So, I mean, it could be a case where there's somebody is very sick and, you know, somebody decided to kill this person, okay? If the motivation is there to kill, then I think, you see, you could give injection, or you can find all this, you know, new ways of killing people, but still you're killing. Okay, someone, you could give an injection, you can send, you know, send to the IV some poison or whatever the case may be. It's just a new method, but basically you're killing the person.
What did it have all the anything me and Alia, anything yet never so touching Oboyella? A massani, intended in tongue into that was seven and our retired social lay in Buyua. That was a whole big sumbata, and it's a passation and that. A session at Kagiwa and 2 years is for a Pamata and Chisonala and the Gangi Mateo. And Tozo, some yard today in Neocoma, and she.
Also talks about how when a child is conceived in the womb of a mother, now through maybe technological device or whatever, you can find out about the condition of the child inside the womb, get the status of. Now you figure out that this child has defects, you know, and then the parents might decide that, okay, if we bring this child into the world, okay, we ourselves have to go through all kinds of troubles and difficulties, and the child has to go through all kinds of difficulties in the society. So then they might think it's better to put an end to the life, okay, before it comes out of the womb. Okay. So if you make such decisions like that, that could amount to killing a human being. Okay. Because the things that I believe that human beings with all kind of disabilities, I think because we are still capable of doing positive actions or karmas. Okay, so you are, preventing, such possibilities from happening. And I want to just give you this example of when we were on the tour in different places and in Grass Valley, as we were doing different events there, one parents they brought their daughter who was about 16, 17 years old, okay, the daughter had really this terrible defect and disability, And the parents later told us that really first they, you know, were not sure to bring this child into the world, and they had gone through so much trouble. Now they came and they, you know, often, you know, whenever they had monks, you know, visiting in their town, and they go to activities and bring the child and get blessing, whatever. So now their whole attitude changed, and they said now, in terms of their way of looking at the situation, their daughter, and the daughter herself, you see, now they think more positively. So that has lifted off, you know, a lot of negative thoughts that they were harboring before, okay? And so there are those possibilities. As a human being, you know, there are, you know, regardless of our limitations, still I believe human beings can do certain, you know, positive thinking and positive, you know, actions. And so therefore we have to be really careful looking at these different situations and what kind of decision do we make, you know, and such things.
Tā mī sēvē lē tē ngē wā chē tsī kō yā khārā sēn nāng bē shūng nā lē anī mī sī ngē tē anī chē kāng sā sēm jē shēmbā tā mā chā wā anī tēng tō yō rē sī tēng tō yō tāng khārā sēn kō rā sō tār tōng bā wē anī tō yā kī tēng rē kī yō rē sī sō tār tōng bā sēn ngē tē sēm jē tōng chō tāng anī chē mī lē yāng yuñ tē chē lā rā sō kō tēng tē rē tēng lē anī tō yā yō mā rē sī chē sāng sō tār tōng bē tēng sōn sā mī sēvē anī chē lē tē lē jī wū
As I mentioned earlier, that in the Buddhist literatures, of all forms of killing, killing a human being is considered the worst form. And the reason that's been given there is, if you wonder why that's the case, is because human life, is what we call a very suitable basis for receiving. Such as individual emancipation vows, or what we call pratimoksha or pratimokkha vows. Okay? And animals, life, cannot be the basis for receiving such vows. And and also the higher forms of beings, like celestial beings or the divine beings, you know, however wonderful their life are at the moment, but their life are not the suitable basis for receiving individual emancipation vows or pratimoksha vows. Yeah. So that's why the human life is considered a very precious life, and so if you cut short that lifespan, it's considered as a worst form of killing. Of course, we know that even legal point of view, you know, if you kill a human being, it's called murder, and there's a serious charges happen. But I don't know what the legal basis for considering killing a human being is more serious than killing an animal or something. They might have their own legal explanation basis for that. But I'm just giving you what is, how do we see it in the Buddhist context? You know, why killing a human being is such a serious matter? I think that will do with the perfection of giving or generosity and the Dan Paramita. Let's move on to the next one, which is the perfection of ethics or Shila Paramita.
Yes.
Okay, So right after the perfection of giving or generosity, the perfection of ethics or Shila Paramita is presented. So why that's the case? In the words of a great Indian Buddhist sage scholar, Acharya Dharmakirti, Gijala quoted the lines from his memory, in which he states that generosity of giving leads to resources. Generosity of giving is a cause, a primary cause, you know, for resources. But if we lack ethics, if we are lacking in ethics, let's say we are very generous human beings, generous people, but we lack ethics, then the outcomes or the results of the generosity could ripen, you know, upon us when we are born in as a lesser kind of animals. So we could be rich in animals, in other words. So we are enjoying, to some extent, the benefits of the generosity. Now we cannot, you know, continue being generous, practice generosity. So then there is a discontinuity, in some sense, of the practice of generosity. So we would like to, you know, continue our practice of generosity. So it's very important for us also to practice ethics. Because ethics is a primary cause to achieve a good rebirth, which includes you know, being reborn as a human being. Okay. So now imagine that, you know, you have been very generous, and you have received, you know, maintained your ethics well. Now you are reborn as a human being, so you are a rich human being with all the capability to be more generous and continue your generosity. Okay. So then there's no disruption in your practice of generosity, and you're also able to enjoy the fruits of your generosity, you know, what's called in a better condition or a situation. And again, I want to quote the great Indian master Acharya Chandrakirti, who said that if you want to be, you know, achieve a good rebirth or a fortunate rebirth, as we would say, then there's no other cause that is more important than you know, observing ethics or practicing ethics. So let's talk about how do we understand what you know, ethics means in the Buddhist context. Ethics simply doesn't mean restraining ourselves from all kinds of actions that we are prohibited from doing. Okay? For example, in any country or society, we have all kinds of rules and regulations and, you know, things we should follow. Yeah? So when you observe the law and order of the society, I don't think that is what Buddhists call, okay, now you are practicing ethics. So, I mean, if we kind of broaden the concept of ethics, maybe then we can say, you know, if you are a good citizen, you know, in your country, you don't break the laws, you know, you follow the law and order of the society, okay, we can say, okay, now you are also following some kind of ethics, if you kind of broaden the scope of ethics, you know. But usually that's not the ethics, you know, kind of thing we talk about in Buddhism, you know. For example, in a society, you know, let's say there is a law that we must not go and kill someone. Okay, so by law, we are prohibited from taking the life of another human being. And because of being fear of that, you know, so we don't kill anyone. Just simply not killing someone, you know, is not necessarily mean that we are practicing or observing ethics. So what is involved in the Buddhist ethics is, first we have to really kind of know about, so to speak, the pros and cons of ethics, okay? What are the benefits of, you know, keeping certain ethics? Or what are the disadvantages or the demerits of not keeping those ethics? You know, so the pros and cons of, certain ethics.
What are the symbols? Tila nyewa ta, ane jik bangwa ina pingu yuwa, tante pingu shimbala dike ge sangbu labzi ten tue gugu yuwa res. An tue be tuane rangu pingu shim be tuane, ane shine rangu tomsi ge gugu yuwa res. Tomsi kim be tuane, ane soju ge le tunzo, ane jik rangu tuzula, chawa tuzula, ane jik ngwe su yuwa di chawa tila mwashu guchi ina, ane tom ya ten, ta sudum singi dira diya res.
So basically what Buddhist ethics we're talking about is, okay, you educate us about whatever ethics that you want to keep, and you say what are the pros and cons of this ethics, you know. And so when you have the required information, the knowledge about those things, so when you make an informed decision, commitment in your mind, okay, now I'm going to keep this ethics, in your mind when you make that connection, mental commitment, then you say, okay, now I'm not going to kill. I understand the benefits of not killing someone, okay, human being, and all the what called the disadvantages of killing someone, and I make an informed decision in my mind that I'm going to commit myself not to kill someone. Okay, so then that becomes an ethical practice. Okay, your commitment, that's based upon informed understanding of the decision.
What in the beta social supposed to be Shinne rang sim nalaya, and jig gesim da, and tamsi yung yoris. That chinchin and ye, and it tends mashe asam. Tan does the jagged, ramshin nijalaya, and jig nerve, and chawashi matojig, pimper ramshin, chachung se janga, and mental sum sim that this temper tone, and such a lail sopot of dombaina, and mushu chawatos of the mushuina, and sutum sing the dirty to yoris, then just on some language shung nalaya, and sutum sadi, and jig shinla. Nebe ni shi tachewa tozole ni yi lopote yi lonen tombate chudum de songyores.
So when you have understood the benefits of giving certain ethics and not doing the opposite of that, which is the negativity and all the demerits, so, and when you committed yourself in your mind that I'm going to keep this particular ethic or ethics, then you also, experience a sense of joy in keeping the ethics because you see the benefits and you make the informed decision. Okay? But in some cases, then you find yourself sort of, deviating from that, tending more towards the negativity, then you can easily bring yourself back, sort of put yourself right on the track, so to speak. Okay? And for some reason, if you transgress your ethics, you will very much regret for deviating from your commitment and doing the wrong thing, and you will be able to mend it, if you will, purify your karma, right, with a strong sense of regret and resolution that, I'm not going to now let myself do it again. Okay, this thing happened once, whatever the case may be, now I'm not going to do it anymore, because I know what are the demerits of that. Okay, so that's what we call what's involved in keeping
I
think when we really look at the difference between ethics and just simply keeping law and order, in a society, I think there are a lot of differences in terms of the attitude and the motivation, in terms of the goal that you're seeking, why you're doing that. for, you know, in terms of all these different reasons, you can find the difference between simply, you know, following the law and order of a country, or you know, doing certain you know, practice of ethics.
와드데베다 즉 남 즉 배워서 그 개균의 여래스 담벨라 침랑게 동바랑 송스 침랑게사데 침디 지도 그 저번에 대원자 유디 침대랑 키고고 여래스티 침대 시자전 쪼고고 여래티 미 꿰주월 쪼고고 여래스 동바랑 송사데 랑 송고고 여래스티 신고 언유다 쯤 언유야 마레스 소소랑게는 상담 소소 송고 여래티 여래스
Tibetans have a saying that when it comes to observing law and order, in a sense that you don't have a choice, because you are living in a society, so you are, you know, in some sense you have to keep, you know, follow the law and order of the society. You really don't have a much choice with it, you know. But when it comes to practice of ethics, it is your choice. Nobody's forcing you to commit to something. You know, you're not willing to commit. So it's basically free will kind of thing here. If I put it in a more sort of a Western kind of a concept, in the case of law and order, kind of it's just like we are determined by the situation. If you break the law, you're behind the bar. Okay, what choice do you have, really? You don't want that choice. That's a bad choice. So in some sense, we don't have much to really... decision making. But in terms of ethics, nobody can impose ethics on you. Nobody can force the ethics upon you. You just, you know, it's your decision. You weigh the pros and cons. You know, you say, okay, now what decision I want to make informed here, what kind of commitment I want to make, that's your decision,
you know. What is that? That's not true.
Now, broadly stated, there are three types of ethics we talk about in Buddhism, or three categories. Number one is called Nyecho Dhamma Tsudip, the ethics of refraining from what we call faulty actions or negative actions, the ethics of refraining from or restraining ourselves from negative actions. Another one is the ethics for, I'm literally translating here, so hopefully give explanation and that's what I get to translate. The ethics for accumulating or integrating virtue, okay? Ethics for integrating virtue. And the third one is the ethics for benefiting sentient beings. Okay, so those are the three types of ethics, you know, talked about in Buddhism.
What the tango, nyeche tenpe tsurum saate, lu da ngaage.
So the ethics of refraining from negative actions, this is more explained in terms of how we can refrain ourselves physically and verbally from getting engaging in negativities. Okay, and so we restrain ourselves from doing something negative physically or something negative verbally. Okay. So that's what we talk about, ethics of refraining from
negativities.
So at a very basic level, so to speak, we often talk about the ethics of abandoning 10 negative actions of body, speech, and mind, right? If we go, keep those ethics, so we are, you know, practicing the ethics of refraining from So in Buddhism, we talk about receiving all kinds of higher commitments and ethical vows, etc. But at a very basic level, where do we start from, if we say, then it is all to do with, you know, following the ethics of abandoning 10 negative actions of body, speech, and mind. I mean, that's like a very essential, basic, you know, ethics that we need to keep.
다들 내가 그 지중 지붕에 치좀 까느냐 아니지 쏟아 응 떠봐 응 다들 뒤에 없어 아니지 그게 남는 것이야 쏟아 떠봐 식든 되셨어 어디 쏟아 떠봐 식든 쏟아 다 떠봐 이제 떠봐 안 치좀 지대요 그래서 어디 이제 떠봐 치좀 되냐 아니 건서 아니 만다와 아니지 숭야 숭야 내 아니 만용 창가 만용 쇼베 때문에 아니 때 만다와 등용을 열었어.
Of course, I mean, there are you know, other kinds of vows that we could take which belong to the ethics of refraining from negativities. It's not just, you know, abandoning the 10 negative actions of body, speech, and mind. That's very basic, as I said. But if someone takes individual emancipation ethics, we call pratimoksha or pratimokha vows, that's also belong to the ethics of refraining from negativities. In the context of Lamrim, treatises on the path of enlightenment, when we talk about these vows, there's mention of seven different, if you call it, subcategories of individual emancipation ethics. So why we have seven different subcategories is to do with, the number of vows that you are taking, you know. And so all of those basically belong to the ethics of refraining from negativities.
What then just a soda tombazik in the Karasana? Gelon pata mani, Gelon pamanis, and a kitu, and pata manis, and tegala, and geloma, and a getting pamanis, autos titin retires.
So if you're wondering what are those seven subcategories of the individual emancipation ethics, well, the seven subcategories are, you know, we can look at in terms of full ordination, we call the bhikshu or bhikshuni. So we have the male and female. So there are two, right? There are the what are called fully ordained monk and fully ordained nun. Yes, two categories right there. Then we have novice monk and novice nun. Okay, there we got four. Then we got the what are called a probationary nun, I think. So that's another one. Then we got the layperson's vows. So layperson can be male or female, right? It's called upasaka or upasika. So we have seven categories, but all of them belong to what we call individual emancipation ethics, okay? And which are part of the ethics of refraining from negativities. Sometimes in the Acharya Vasubandhu's Treasure of Knowledge or Abhidhamma Kosha could mention about eight subcategories of individual emancipation ethics. Then we could say, what is the eighth one? You know, Lamrim doesn't talk about eight, seven. But in this case, he counts what are called the ethics of one-day ethics. Let's say, just to be simple, right? We can take one-day Mayana precepts, you know, something like that. So that is a very limited time period, 24-hour time period. So he counted that as a different subcategory.
What interesting is that purely energy do we number tire with Dorothy? Ne, she tamja yoamabe and do we did the Tarish Tangorishas? She's on do we did the la energy. Netin de Watan, Chusung de was the woman of Yongutos, she tamja yoamabe de was.
So there, like when in terms of monastic ordination tradition, I think there happens to be two major ones. I think Sarvastivadin tradition and I think Mula Sarvastivadin tradition, something like that. I don't remember the exact Sanskrit terms, but does it really matter? Nothing, really. But anyway, the Tibetans, you know, we follow the, I think, Mula Sarvastivadin tradition. So sometimes within there could be some differences between different monastic traditions in the lineage of the vows, the Vinaya that we have received, you know.
What interesting thing, Deva Mandala Sansanta, Shitamcha Yoga Mabedeva. She shall know, Gelon Palaya and Sunkoya Tim and Sutum Sunkoya and Tim Dala and Yigang of Jujitaris. gelom malaya ane tim song payate mache sum ge tu risum yores.
So example in the monastic Vinaya tradition that Tibet has received from India, I think it's called Mula Sarvastiva tradition, anyway, Shitamja Yobarmava in Tibetan. So according to that tradition, a monk, a fully ordained monk, I should say, a bhikshu, has as many as 250 vows to keep. And a fully ordained nun or a bhikshuni has as many as 363 vows to keep.
Okay. What interesting thing is that Padang, kandar kan nangbe tuye nanan cegore sias kanda kelom padang malan ting kewa ang dos manyugo kewa yego ade shungun nalbe shibje sewo kumtin sewo shib sung yores ane ceg shikashe ane ceg gongo ane ceg nima shu ane kelom ma ane ceg neg ane kandar kobe neg chamne ane chilo droma choba kese wato zula kaksi chimbo yede res donzo chilo drowe na ane chik tomba sung ma towa ta an tenteke ta chik kasore an mi ane chik samna chia tete nyanga yu wanzang ane chik chane re shias genong pala tenteke yaw ma res ko wa tenteke ane ma yu yede tendo.
So if you're wondering why there's such quite a substantial difference in terms of the number of vows that bhikshu and bhikshunis need to keep, even going with this one tradition, I think it's something to do with the given conditions and things like that. For example, that fully ordained nuns have more vows to keep, and some of the vows are to do with after a certain period of time, the sun sets, so they are not allowed to go out because of the expected risk, to themselves. The bad people could be there, so it's to protect them that there are more vows, for the nuns, created to keep.
What in the Chiku Lamotria? Julia and Chukaya out in the Gelon Pata Madre and Gelon Malay Devistrim.
So it sounds like a fully ordained nun is prohibited from just walking alone at night, without a friend, or just going alone to, I guess here we can say, to swim or to the beach. Chukaya means to take shower, so can't go alone just by oneself. Whereas it seems like the monks are not prohibited, from doing that, can go walk alone,
So
it's like, expecting there are more sort of dangerous, there are more, how should I say, challenges for a nun to keep the vows. So, more ethics are provided to protect them, from those difficulties and challenges. So that's why the number difference, come up. So what I want to say is, of course, those who have taken monastic ordinations, they have access to, or they can read about those vows, and detailed explanations are given in Buddhist literatures, why such differences exist. So my point today, just for the public here to make, is there has nothing to do with like a gender discrimination of some kind. Like some men are giving some free freebies here. Like okay, you get to keep less, so women's you take more or something like that. It has nothing to do with some kind of a gender inequality or discriminations here. All right, we will stop there as we're watching the clock. We can receive a couple of questions, I think. Yes, please.
I have two questions.
Sure.
Okay. There's one shorter.
Okay.
How does he define fearlessness? Is it taking the fearful environment away, or is it empowering the person to make the right decision?
How does he define? I know. I started to forget my invisible students plugged through internet. Okay. The question that's being asked is a very short and sweet question, so it's easy for me to say it. We talked about the giving of fearlessness. So how does Geshe-la define fearlessness? Does it mean like taking off the fearful conditioning factors or providing fearlessness to the person, the recipient? Okay, how do we define it?
Yamanani, the Jigba Yongi, the Chagin of Jorwa, the Mavs of the Sigore, Mijibus, Podent Kawako. What a Mijibusade, Jigsade, Piki, Yugi, sim nal kharasna seso ne shoya kda jikbo yede res o de seso shoya gi jikbo tene ne jik kyabya de res sim kyo ma se lu de kyab gu yo res lu sing ni ja kyab yu yu de
So I think the fearlessness is more understood in terms of providing sense of security to this other person, right? The other person feels not secure, the life is not in danger, you know, like that. But at the same time, it's not just enough to provide that mental sense of security, but we also need to, if we can, get rid of that conditioning, fearful situation, so that not only the person feels safe mentally, but physically the person or the being is safe. Yeah, so the fearlessness, you know, is more explained in terms of giving sense of security to this other person, but also make sure that it's just not a mental thing, but literally or physically, the person is safe. Does that, you know, come to you?
What the Luke says about the other man that you figure, gives you the energy, says all show up, which you put it down, go on, which you mentioned, but Sigmaris, Tetang. Kokarasan, Pigilia, Zun, that the Dick Shikilamat and the Den, Lapsikan, and Shigumar, Ketchikumaris, and Goshen, and Mel Sawasanga, and Komichikim Pajikumaris, they sort in the loop.
I think somebody says somebody's being's life is in danger, right? So you really need to protect the life of this being. It's not simply giving some kind of nice advice, you know, just feel cool, you're okay, you know, you're not in any danger. And then the person says, okay, I'm fine. But really, he's in danger, you know, just that doesn't work. It really has to be. I just say, in a sense, very practical. You really have to save the life. Not only that you provide a sense of security to this person, but the person's life is out of danger. You know, you save it. You know, first example, we can go and say, I think that's what Gisela is saying. Let's say somebody is really dying, you know, whatever the given condition. Then we just give all this advice. It's okay, you know, just make him feel a little better. But, you know, but the fact of the matter is the life, you know, we couldn't save the life, you know. So that's a different case, you know. But here we say, in a conditional situation, we could save somebody's life. Not only we provide through our advice or whatever sense of security to that person's mind, but we also literally save the life, you know. Yeah. The second question.
Yeah. In his definition of cups, yeah. I think the definition, the categories are not 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And so since many people will benefit from some kind of dharma, if it's put in the right way, mm-hmm. some part of that cup is going to absorb it. If not now, they'll use it later.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's always the chance that if you didn't take the opportunity to give it, that person might make a decision in the future, mm-hmm. which might be negative, and that's sad.
Okay. So I think this problem relating to giving the gift of the Dharma, where we said we really need to take into consideration the recipient, you know, if it's the right time to give or not, and all those things. But I think what you're saying is, you know, sometimes the benefit not be evident right now, but if we don't give it, we lose the opportunity, right? The person might pursue the negative way. But if you give something, this might make sense down the line, so to speak.
Yeah, because the cups, the categories are not 100%.
Right. That I get the inbacking again, because So I mean, what I agree with is there's no kind of a fixed, you know, categories, rules like that. There's a certain amount of flexibility, if that's what you're thinking, where, I mean, we can be very sure, but if we have got a good sense of that, okay, while I'm going to share the gift, if it's not going to benefit the person right now, maybe down the line, this person, a certain sense of openness or whatever, let's assume that it could benefit the person, right, change it or affect the life positively, then it's okay, as we say, you know. But if you know for sure that by giving this gift, this person is really not going to change it, you know, and then it's kind of useless, you know. But it's really hard to make a judgment about every individual, you're right, because there's so much variations in between. So what we really talk about is more in a general sense, but But it depends upon if we have a sense, something, whatever our connections and based upon what relationship, we know that maybe there's a possibility, you know, teeny weeny bit of possibility, this person might change something, then maybe it's okay, you know. But Sharon, yeah.
When you were talking about killing and how if people conspire to kill,
right,
then everyone takes on the negativity. And I was wondering, living in our society where we as a society sometimes condone killing in terms of execution or in terms of war,
right,
and we support the society by paying our taxes and by participating, are we implicitly sort of conspiring to to commit those negativities?
Okay. All right, the question that's being asked is, you know, what Geshe-la was telling us about, you know, we have to think about, you know, negativity or killing from many different ways. Like, for example, if a group of people conspire to kill someone, like everybody doesn't have to kill the person, really, literally, but one of us kills it, but we all are involved in killing. Okay? So now, given the situation we are living through, like, you know, we are the taxpayers and our money is used for the war, our money is, you know, used to put somebody to death, you know, in a prison or whatever case may be, so are we in some way, shape or form involved in the negative killing, although we ourselves might not condone, right, such things. So this is the game. In a sort of a final analysis of things from Buddhist perspective, you know, we say that whether we engage in a positive or negative action, whether that action has become a full-fledged negative-positive action, it depends upon, you know, the things like the motivation, the actual action, and the conclusion. Okay. So motivation really plays a very important role, whether we are motivationally participating in such things, you know. And that's what we want to
mention here. What does
So let's say that, you know, individual acts, you know, pays the tax and motivationally really agrees with the war or, you know, giving a death sentence, right? So very excited about that and so really happy to pay the tax. So that goes there and that's perfect. That's what I wanted it. And the person get killed on, you know, and they say, oh, that's great. Yeah. So then this is really a case of you are completely participating in the negativity. But in many other cases where you are a taxpayer, your money is used, or somebody is making the decision to use it for the war or, you know, put someone to death, but you are motivationally not there, right? You even disagree with that, then it doesn't come to the negativity, you know, doesn't come to you. Very good question, very practical. Yes, please.
One sentence, you have destroyed my whole life conviction. But for example, if you have a mother's life and a fetus life at risk, and the mother's life is at risk, how do you balance that? And, and then the other one is, what if you counsel the mother about the fetal risk, and you're just basically stating facts, but the mom decides to terminate?
Okay, so when you counsel the mother, you said, okay, this is, you know, from my medical professional point of view, your child is, you know, better to be killed than not really let born. And then moms also make that decision. And then what happens to both the doctor and the mom? They're both conspiring to kill. Okay. I'm just trying to understand, you know. Okay, wonderful. Okay, that question that I've been asked is, you know, when we are in a situation where you know, mother is delivering baby, the mother's life need to be saved, or somebody, you know, then maybe you need to abort the fetus, you know. So how do we make balance it, you know, make that decision, you know? And another, you know, related to that is, let's say from your really medical professional point of view, you know, you say that this, given the situation, what all I know, expertise, is better to abort your fetus than, you know, you let it grow, whatever case may be. Then the mom makes a decision, okay, I agree with you, and let's do that. So now, if this would be case, I assume, you know, for both mother and the doctor, you know, both involved in, you know, killing.
Right, or, you, right. Or not even you directly tell the right. mom to abort.
Right. But the mom wants the decision, and right. mom wants you to do it, right.
Right.
Okay, well, I think the just to clarify what she wants, unless the mom decides to abort the fetus, right, and then ask the doctor, please do it, because based upon the facts I've been giving, you know, I just decided to, you know, abort the fetus. So what do you do, you know, as this from spiritual point of view, right? This is the again. Then the Quran member again. So the again, that is the seven prayers. The ma kasa the pugu se te jo again. Pugu di kie chu bi na the pugu na lo linge cha do je che bi na ni ame so linge ka yu che ro ba. Ane pugu di mebu se na ame so cha do di ne ne da cha bi ta kar che ro ba di gi tho che ro ba. Da chi gi mebu ju ju ro ma do chi ni da di che ro ba. Di ne ne da cha bi na an kar che ro es. Ani shamba de la. Tak kau tu mengi kurang tu cungrim gitu, tuan cungu siapa nasi? Nanti kena gitu cuaca deh di, tak kira cungu cuma itu buku deh lor, negian di negu lor, sebab, kan amat deh kita tajen lor, cina ni buku deh mewah suruh jis, amji lah bi na, amji deh mewah suruh lagi, jadi amji deh lah, so aja ni macam tu disuruh meru, ni ada tu semua.
Tadi tangguh deh deh lor, ada, amat sejauh, na buku sejauh, tadi su, sula ni kevin cai, nanti lu sam tangan ruas. Aman tanya aman ya kemin cah yang itu nih aman terus jaya buku lakukan kemin cah yang itu nih.
Ina tak buku dek si aman so jaya jadi buku depan kemin aman cah jadi buku so maja bina ni buku sebenarnya macam tiga
jiroda. Tak so jaya malas korang pentol mana mekuk bina siapa nak korang tu si jiroda so.
Macam apa suka orang ni korang buku sebenarnya macam tiga jiroda aman kau pengen di cah jiroda dia sih korang semua.
Oh tak terus. Nampak siung nanti siapa nasi gulung jadi, gulung sahaja sahaja lelai
siung,
tetapi gulung tu lah, gulung cikshu dah rigjiwe gulung ni jadi. Hmm. Ini
kalau
siung nanti siapa nasi gulung jadi, gulung sahaja sahaja lelai siung, tetapi gulung tu lah, gulung cikshu dah rigjiwe gulung ni jadi.
Hmm. 其实讲 sahaja
吃那些么子，sahaja为老吃。这个老sahaja找个吃，咱不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不能。咱也不 다음 매신 제는 단 예보 여들에 있는 소주를 내고 예보 차장 여 말했고 이 교상원 좀 사여 말했어.
So first we live with the first you know situation where you said that you are in a given a situation that you know either the mom's life could be saved or the fetus could be saved, but not both, right? So which one, you know, now you take the decision. Now that really depends upon, you know, say, you know, what would be more beneficial, you know, whether the saving the, you know, fetus life or the mom, right? You have to think about the benefits, you know. But, so having based upon that, you see, your analysis pros and cons, right? You decide to, let's say, save mom's life and abort the fetus. Now you really don't want to do it, okay? But given your medical profession, whatever case may be, so that's the only thing, you know, given the condition you... So in which case, as I was explaining to you, from Buddhist point of view, this is not going to be full-fledged killing a human being because you are so unwilling, but given the situation, you are forced to do this. Okay? And so, but the fact of the matter is that you have still aborted the fetus. So there is certain negativity, but it's not a killing, it's a certain amount, but you have no motivation to kill, you know, the fetus. If you could save, you want to save both, right? So it's not going to be a full-fledged killing a human being. Yeah, there's certain negativity. But then, on the other side, you save the life of the mom, so there's that positive action, you know, counteracting factor. Okay, so that's, you know, how it is. Now, the second one, okay? You see, Ama more gwene, da mengi, nadang gwene, shen nge, puku di da, shanen, pento me de nga seru, ku seru jis amji lawe na, di amji di sebe na. Ani? Di chikwara chagung maro da?
Re, da te re res, ki go gu maa kyawe ne, chingu tawane, mengun chogu gu yore, maa kyaka chogu gu yore, kong ka na shen, di go gu mengun chogu, shen ge, so ma gu chek gu yore, ene mengun chogu rengi ge, sem nara, kechu kar sangwa rasu na, da chik chingu tawane, jim langa tona dhawa zara nyeke soji sojun tuku gulung ma shuku kuku yo res an taro ngu shi ko soya be an ta kiksin kuku yo res taro rema son aasama an dinti jayana soji kinyeba di yo ma res di
I think the second question, you know, we could think about it in the same perspective where, let's say, the mom made the decision, you didn't make the call, right? But the mom has been given all the medical facts and figures, and mom said, okay, I want you to abort my fetus. Now you are a medical professional, you have to do it, but you are really not willing to do that, but given condition, you have to. So in which case, again, we said this is not a full-fledged, you know, negativity of killing, yeah? And so we weigh the pros and cons. So on the one hand, you save the mom's life, you know, and then so that could be counteracting factor. So what Geshe-la gave the example of here is like, say, because there could be many soldiers, you know, who sent to the war. They really don't want to kill anyone. But the fact of the matter is they're already recruited into the army. They have been trained, so they've been sent. You know, there's a war breakout. So they really don't want to do it, but they're in a situation. So they have to fire. You know, they might kill someone, you know. So if you don't have this motivation to kill anyone, but even at the end, when you really shoot someone, you feel bad about it, regret about it, then I think those things are very powerful antidotes, counteracting factor. You really don't accumulate the full-fledged action of killing another human being.
Yeah. And that's that, you know. Yeah.
Right. So in a sense, this is the way, you know, how we, like when we learn about this, it's kind of... I personally feel it, sometimes we feel strange as a translator. We're teaching you almost how to do negativities, but in a good way. So that it doesn't become 100% somewhere, you know, 20% cut here, 30% cut here. So you got, you know, but in a way it's not bad in a given situation. That's where you are, you know. So we are trying to say, okay, I'm not motivationally involved in the killing. I don't like doing this and I don't want it. Okay, that's a great thing. At the end, like, I am not proud of what I did, but I really regret for this, but at least given the condition, that's the best I could do. I saved somebody's life, but I, you know, had to kill someone in a given thing. So, I mean, those are the ways to counteract, you know, being practical, being pragmatic, and you know, those are the situations. And that's what is talked about in Buddhist literature, too, you know, how we can make our negativity less negativity, if that's all we could do. Okay, I think we will stop there today. And I have an announcement to make. Where is it? Yeah. Okay, what is this? June 28th, that is the 2028, right? 1920. I think our Shastri touring monks will be back, and seems like we are bringing certain holy relics of Geshe-la to be dispersed on the mountaintop in Palm Springs. Okay. So, the announcement is June 28th after 1920. And if you would like to just kind of join that, so we will be going to the mountaintop by 1 p.m. I think there's a tram or you know, gondola or something. I've never been to Palm Springs, so don't ask me. Something goes up the mountain, whatever that takes you. So, you know, so every, I think it starts at 8 a.m. on the weekends, the tram or the gondola or whatever, the box going up. And it runs every half an hour after that. Okay. So we will all be there by 1 p.m., right? So you can adjust your time and get there by 1 p.m. if you would like to join that. Okay. So we announce it ahead. Now, as we get more information, whatever, we will announce it in the upcoming weeks, you know, next weekend. But right now, you know, if you are adjusting your calendar, so we say June 28th, we will go to Palm Springs and we will take the tram to the mountaintop, bring Geshe-la some holy relics, you know, to be dispersed there, and monks will join us and we'll do some ceremony, and you are welcome, okay, to that. And, okay, there's another one handwritten here. Venerable Tenzin Priyadashi will give a talk at 7:30 on June 8th. Okay? On June 8th at 7:30 p.m., Venerable Tenzin Priyadashi, from the name I'm making, this must be an Indian Buddhist monk or a nun, so giving talk. Okay?
That's Monday instead of the Monday night meditation.
Is that? Okay.
He'll be joining us.
Okay, so I guess June 8th is a Monday, so meditation, so he will be the guest speaker or a talker. Okay. All right, that's it, right? Any
that's
other?
It.
Okay.
Thanks,
and what do we do? Quick written prayer. We'll do in English, and then I'll ask Vietnamese students to do in Vietnamese. O infinite Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, you are the embodiment of uncontaminated and immutable great bliss. Kindly pour on us now your blessings, rains of nectar from the great clouds, of your pervasive, pure and bright wisdom and compassion to eliminate our distress. We pray to you, an incomparable great hero, who has perfectly realized within his mind the threefold ethics, a pure essence of the extensive system of Tathagata's teaching. He who has raised a parasol of Dharma in hundreds of directions. Your body is a sun of all wonderful qualities, but all of a sudden it's set into solitary peace. You have committed before infinite Buddhas to work for Dharma and sentient beings. You could not have given up your commitment. However, your presence depends on the fortunes of disciples, for the power of dependent arising is inconceivable. Please reincarnate soon as a new light of Dharma, out of your compassion that never abandons us. Please return soon as a supreme spiritual guide, a treasure house of the immense teaching of Buddha, a voice that eloquently elucidates the teaching that suits individuals' dispositions and capacities. Please return soon as a great Dharma king, who will be known in all directions for smashing into pieces a mountain of misguided teachings and views through the power of your thunderbolt lightning of the three reasonings. Please return soon, just like your previous self, an expert in the five major sciences of Buddhism, whose eloquent words and articulation of the teaching captivate the hearts of all the scholars and activate deep appreciation in pure enthusiastic mind. Please return soon as a spiritual guide, endowed with complete knowledge, kindness, and dedication, in regard to the perfect view, meditation, and conduct, one who facilitates the opening of the blossom lotus, that is the golden teaching of Tsongkhapa. By the power of the three infallible jewels, by the power of dependent arising of unchanging emptiness, by the truth of our pure thoughts and devotion, may all our aspirations be spontaneously fulfilled. So could you do in Vietnamese, please?
Các ngài thì hiện bát nhã báu thân của chân đại lạc bất biến trong ngần xin trải từ tâm ân cần phổ hộ mưa thân thủy từ mây đại độ đủ huệ ly tịnh phổ dạng người tận diệt thống khổ tức thờ niệm nhân ngài bậc đại hùng vô sắn đã hoàn toàn chư pháp tánh nơi tâm ba tạng giới luật cốt thủy uyên thông của đại thừa Như Lai truyền giáo ngài nâng cao lọc vòng pháp bảo chăm hướng vươn lan tỏa muôn phương thân thân tài em và phẩm hạnh sau bỗng nhiên nhập cảnh biết chi ngài từng trước Phật thể nghi luôn luôn hoàng pháp làm vì độ sanh nay ngài hẳn không đành bỏ nguyện vì phước đệ tử mà ngài hiện thế thế nhân duyên chẳng thể nghĩ bàn xin mau hóa thân thành ánh đạo vàng từ bi mãi chẳng bỏ đàn vơ vơ xin mau trở lại là đại đạo sư những kho tàng như vô lường lời tuyên giảng soi đường phát bảo thế căn cơ thiện xảo độ sanh xin mau trở lại là đại pháp phương đường danh kim cổ muôn phương tán đồng phá tan núi mỹ pháp lồng tà kiến tam đoạn luật xét nghiến sấm vang xin mau trở lại như thân đời trước tắc ngũ minh học thức uyên thâm viện tài vô ngại lý giải pháp âm học giả khẩu phục hàng tâm thiện giả cảm nhận hồng ấn lòng xin mau trở lại là đạt đạo sư thiên thư thông thái mẫn từ tận tâm chánh kiến điện mạc chuyên cần ương xe thế nhuệ hương lân pháp đàn của tông khách ba ý ngọc lời vàng do thần lực tam bảo liên ứng do thần lực duyên khởi tương ưng với tánh thôn bất nhị bất trùng cho tâm lực trí thành cùng kính nguyện xin cho sở nguyện chúng đệ tử được tức thời viên mãn.
Oh, that's right. What is the next week? Is that going to be June 6th, right, again? Announced on the website June 6th, Saturday, Geshe-la has been requested to give a teaching whole day, so we will do a teaching from 10 to 12 and 2 to 4, that's Saturday. I think he will be talking about how do we understand mind in Buddhism, and then other things he feels relevant. And then the following Sunday, June 7th, we will do the regular teaching, but we'll cut it short by half an hour, and we will set up the table, and because that is what we call the full moon day of the fourth lunar month, according to Tibetan calendar, is the Holy Easter month, and that's the day we said Buddha was born, Buddha was enlightened, and Buddha passed into parinirvana. Yeah, so it is the holiest day according to Tibetan Buddhist calendar, and we will do top offering, right? The things you can bring, some fruits and things to offer, so we will do right after the top, guess at the table. So that's next weekend, June 6th, Saturday teaching, 10 to 12, 2 to 4, and Sunday regular teaching, regular time, cut short by half an hour. We set at the table and do the top offering. All right, let's do our usual dedication prayers. Okay, we have made few copies of this announcement I just made. Okay. Palm Spring announcement. Okay. All right, enjoy your lunch.